Hi, this is Kim Catola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Catola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
It is a joy to be with you live tonight after a two-week hiatus and recorded programs. We are back here on the 7th of September to welcome our guest, Pamela Christian, who's going to talk with us about being able to discern truth in a world of lies as we examine our faith. She's got a series of books on apologetics, and this is the first one. And I'm particularly interested in her what she has learned about the question of abortion, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But I just am so glad to be able to welcome you back. We've been doing this is probably as close as we'll get to a second anniversary program of being on the air for 2 years. And when we first started, we weren't sure how the program would go, whether we'd be able to fulfill the mission to provide really a safe place for you to share your story, for you to talk about the impact of abortion in your life. It's way past time for us to have this conversation publicly, and yet I know, I personally understand the barriers to having an open conversation. We don't want people to know that we've had that experience. We don't want to face it. We have difficulty coming to grips with the grief. And there are so many reasons why so many of us remain silent. And yet, there are places where we can safely discuss and process the experience of having lost a child to abortion and what it really means for us and what the future holds. Because ultimately, that's the reason for this program, that I don't want you languishing another moment thinking that you're alone in your experience and thinking that there's no hope for you and thinking that you can never share the truth with anyone, you can never disclose this important fact about your story and your life. This is a safe place, and even if you just listen with an open heart and are encouraged by the stories of those that you do hear, I pray that we are fulfilling that mission for you personally. But we are live, and the program was designed to be that, to be a live and open forum for you to be able to join the conversation. So our phones are open, and we're live here tonight at 800-811-3003, 800-811-3003. If you're brand new to the program, as you may have sensed, yes, I had an abortion, and yes, I have found my way to be able to talk about that with a sober point of view. And by that I mean I'm not unmindful of the damage that abortion has done in my life, but I now have hope. And I have a new mindset that God's Word says we can gain when we are living in the Spirit, as it says in Romans 8. And a big part of my rehabilitation, if you will, a big part of the change in my heart because of the spiritual knowledge that I gained came simply from understanding God's Word and feeling the love of God's people who helped me understand what it personally meant for me. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to dive into the Word. And it isn't about my opinion. It isn't about anybody's opinion of you. It's about the truth. It's about the truth from God's Word, from His heart to yours. And that's why I'm so excited about our guest tonight, Pamela Christian. For over 20 years, Pamela Christian, who's known as the Faith Doctor, has been helping people in matters of faith, and she compassionately wants people to confidently discover and live in life-giving truth. Her ministry started, she was a teaching director for Community Bible Study. Many of you are aware of that international organization. That led to her receiving invitations to speak nationally, and then she became a radio talk show host and a contributing writer to various books and magazines. And she holds a certificate in apologetics from Biola University, and that influences all of her work, apologetics, which is simply being able to examine our faith through the lens of looking at God's Word and seeing what it says and knowing how to rightly apply it to life and the various questions that life poses. So Pamela lives in California with her two grown children living nearby, and it's just a joy to welcome you to Cradle My Heart Radio tonight. Pamela, hi.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate it.
Well, I'm excited because I think that, you know, I was a Christian. I was not a Christian when I chose abortion. Mm-hmm. I came to faith about 10 years afterwards, but then I was in church, and finally, you know, God's Word was opening up to me, and I was learning. I was in a church that preached the gospel of life, and so I had that, you know, that shattering experience of learning that all that sense I had in my heart that I had participated in taking a life was true. But how could I search out the scriptures and find out and know everything that God says about this and feels about this? Because it's not a straightforward pursuit when we open the scriptures looking for these questions, is it?
It certainly isn't. And some people feel that the Bible is quite silent about abortion. I disagree with my study and my research. We have a very beautiful passage in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, where the Lord talks about knowing each individual before the foundation of the world. Before we were ever conceived, we are a planned being in the heart and the mind of God, and He knows us before we're ever conceived. We also have a passage in Psalm 139, verse 13, and also verse 17. They're beautiful passages about how God treasures us and loves us before we're even conceived.
Well, and I think that, you know, I want to open up the phones for your questions for Pamela, by the way, at 800-811-3003. Maybe there's a passage of scripture that you've heard preached that seems to justify abortion or to say it's a matter of personal choice, a matter of conscience, if you will, rather than something that God would prohibit in His Word. If not directly, then certainly by inference. Call us with your questions at 800-811-3003. Pam has graciously provided copies of her book, Examine Your Faith, and we'll have a copy of that for those who call with a question and a comment tonight at 800-811-3003. Again, 800-811-3003, and you'll receive a copy when you go on the air with us for a copy of Examine Your Faith, Finding Truth in a World of Lies. So, Pamela, you know, we have those verses, and they seem very clear that life begins before birth. But where do we find the prohibition? Because, you know, some people now that are abortion proponents, abortion rights proponents, will say, well, yes, it is a child, but the mother's life takes precedent. And she, you know, that God would not prohibit that. And I know we're deep now into the scriptures, but I guess where I would like to start is, how do we know that abortion is wrong?
Well, there's a couple of levels where we can take a look at that. One is just the morality of it, and that's understanding that the child that's conceived between the male sperm and the female egg is a human being. It cannot be a duck, cannot be a cow, it cannot be any other species. It is a human being. And that's the first place that I believe that we need to start. Not all people will agree with that. You know, Kim, a lot of people, especially those who work for Planned Parenthood, like to refer to it as a tissue or a fetal member. They don't try to personalize the fact that once a human egg and a human sperm come together, that is conception of a human life. That's the first point that I would really like to have people try to settle on. One of my contemporaries, Matt Slick, who's also an apologist, has done a great job in talking about why abortion is wrong on his website, which is carm.org. He takes a different tact because he knows that not everybody's going to believe what the Bible says. Not everybody's going to to buy into what God says. So he takes just a completely different angle and looks at the whole topic of abortion from the morality of it, from comparing it to other crimes that we have identified in our society. And I really, really appreciate the way he's gone about this, because it can bring a person down the road of logic and reason, which I believe is lacking. I think a lot of times we operate from emotion moreover than logic and reason, and I think we need to have a balanced approach to anything that we consider.
And so, in other words, to me, I like analogies like that too. I mean, I think they're helpful. And again, not to condemn anybody for having made this choice, but to bring some moral clarity to it. Because I think very few women enter into it coldly feeling as though, I know this is a child and I'm doing away with it willfully. I just don't see that in my experience, and it certainly wasn't what I experienced. But I mean, in my experience as I talk with people and counsel with people, you know, but so to bring, you know, I think about, you know, what if we simply decided one day that there was a whole class of people who, for some reason needed, you know, to be able to eliminate their toddlers, because their toddlers provided, you know, brought desperate circumstances into their lives. And so we went and legislated that it would be okay to somehow do away with them. You know, I mean, people stop and they say, well, that's ridiculous. But really, is it? Is it that different than the way that we have things arranged now?
Exactly. And I love that you started with that, because it's almost like in the Bible, when Abraham is approaching God and saying, will you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if there's 100 good people, if there's, you know, 80, 50 good people, if there's 10? And he gets it back down. And that's really the kind of approach that you're taking. Where is the difference of a human life, whether it is a toddler or a newly conceived human being? Where do we draw the line of whether it becomes a process of taking a life or not? This is the dialogue that I'm so grateful that you're allowing us to have.
Pamela Christian is our guest tonight, and we have books for you. She is the author of Examine Your Faith, and we would be happy to provide a copy when you go on the air with us with your question or comment for Pamela. And if you have a question beyond this issue of abortion, simply about, you know, something that has always made you curious or even troubled you, so that a question you've struggled with from the scriptures, please join us. We'd love to have your voice in the conversation tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio. Phones are open, 800-811-3003, and coming up, your calls.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free, 800-811-3003.
The phones are open for you to receive a copy of the book with your question or comment when you join us on the air. And so let's get right to the phone calls as we welcome Melissa, listening in Covington, Georgia. Hi, Melissa. Welcome. And go ahead, please, with your question or comment for Pamela Christian.
Yes, hi. I was calling because I was saying that I felt like I know I have found freedom in Christ from having an abortion. And I just wanted to kind of address people sometimes when the subject comes up, they're so quick to make judgmental comments. How could anyone do that? And how to, sometimes I feel like the Lord provides an opportunity to share my story, and other times I'm not so sure. And is there some kind of, you know, quick answer sometimes how to respond to that?
Melissa, I'm not quite sure I'm understanding what you're asking. Are you saying that when people say, how can a person do that, what would be the right response? Is that the question?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, as you were speaking and you were saying that is a common response, but people say, how in the world could a woman possibly do that? My heart breaks, because it's the same thing as any other sin. We are deceived. We don't have the whole truth, and we're not operating in the whole truth. We're operating on what we know. And in fact, that's what I bring out in my book, is that unless we understand what we believe and why we believe it, we can easily be deceived and not know it, because that is the nature of deception, that the victim is unaware. I mean, when I think of these women that have, as Kim pointed out, very, very few women go to have an abortion fully aware of what it is that they are doing. Most women are woefully ignorant, and they are persuaded, and they are given a whole host of lies, and it takes them down a path, and it may be several years later before they wake up and realize what it is that they've actually done. So when a person says, how can a woman do it? Oh, please, let's have compassion. Let's have empathy. She is not doing this willfully or with a full understanding.
Mm. Melissa, can you share a little bit of your story?
Yes, my story was that I was had an abortion when I was right before my 18th birthday, and it was something that was really a family issue that I felt I was led into without any, as you said, you know, education on what was to be expected, and then the ramifications, and it was something many, many years, even decades later, that I suffered through the consequences of that, and that many years later I was able then to find freedom in that area with much prayer and guidance and counsel from ministry within our church, and you know, mostly by God's healing. And I say that because I felt like it was a disease that I carried around with me for most of my life. And now I find when the subject comes up, as you said earlier in opening the broadcast, I do not discredit the impact it has and the what it does to a person's life, but I'm also not hiding in shame in the sense anymore, that I know that I walk in God's grace and I have a story to tell of freedom.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So, and I'm sensing that there was maybe pressure from someone in your family to go ahead and have that abortion when you were 18.
Yes, it was it wasn't done lightly, but yet it was also done with, like, just very matter-of-factly, that this is what's best in this situation. And as if, you know, I was going to go have an operation for a broken leg or something like that. And I had no idea what was coming down the line.
Mm-hmm. And so when you think about that, anybody listening tonight, asking a person who has been put in that position, how could you... It's not even a pertinent question. And I really thank you for sharing that with us, Melissa, because I know it's personal. And I hope that Pamela's answer has helped you. You know, I think that, as God provides the opportunities, we obey and we leave the consequences with Him. And yes, not everybody is going to understand. And there are going to be people who, will have condemnation in their hearts. And I hope that that's driven by, you know, compassion for the unborn. And I hope that this program is part of educating people, how very much these decisions are often coerced. And if at best done in a context of a severe lack of social support. So, Melissa, thank you so much for your question. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And hold on so we can get your address and get you a copy of Pamela Christian's book. 800-811-3003 is our number. And we tonight are talking with Pamela Christian, author of Examine Your Faith. And we have copies of her book for those who call with a question or comment. And, you know, we should back up a little bit, but because we dove right into this really tough question about the apologetics of abortion in the Bible. But Pamela, your book is broad, and you start with really trying to, I think, address one of the big problems in the church today. And because of this root problem, you have things like abortion and all sorts of controversy on things where God's word could give us a lot of clarity. Mm-hmm. You talk about, you know, people creating our own faith, the cafeteria idea, you know, even people who are Boo Jews or people who believe in Chrislam, extracting specific, you know, tenets of one faith or faith practice, and then coming up with something that seems to fit, and now that's my religion, quote unquote. What's the problem with that?
Well, there's several problems, but you know, Kim, it really goes back to the Garden of Eden, because Adam and Eve were enticed by the enemy of God to doubt God and to doubt God at his word and what God had said, and they believed that they could make their own choices, that they could decide what's right and what's wrong, and they could become God, little gods, if you will, in their own right. That is the same, the very same basic fundamental aspect of each human being that drives us to want to live our own life without letting God be God, with us being Lord of our own life. And it leads us down a path of destruction. You mentioned Buju and Chrislam. That really is happening. It was an article by ABC News that I read with the title that Americans are tolerant of religious faith. And I thought that I would be reading about how Americans were tolerant of the different respective faiths, you know, Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, and even New Age. I thought I would read that people were respectful of the difference in the various religions, but that's not what I read. I read that people were doing exactly as you pointed out. They are programming their faith the same way they program their iPhones, with anything that they prefer. And that, as I said, only leads to a path of destruction. People aren't buying into the reality that truth is absolute. You've probably heard people say that the truth is relative. And that, in my opinion, is one of the single biggest problems that we have in our church today. Even in our churches, the truth is not being presented as absolute.
Pamela Christian's our guest. 800-811-3003 is our number. And, you know, I think I understand how this has come about. I mean, there's postmodernism, which says, you know, no truth is absolute. If it's true for me, if it fits for me, then that's what, you know, I can't impose my truth on you, and you can't impose your truth on me. There's also, I think, within this, the question, a whole realm and question of spirituality, I really sense the influence of the 12-step movement. And that actually is how I came to faith, not through a group, but through a Christian friend within one of those groups. But the training and discipling that I was getting, if you will, was God can be anything you want him to be, this higher power. You can, and some people would say, if you have a problem with God, your higher power could be a tree or a force in nature. And I think that has become so popularized and appropriated from the 12-step movement that it has crept into the church and it stood in the place of discipleship.
There's various places. I totally agree with you. That is definitely one place. But even from scriptures themselves, we have the scriptures about telling us not to judge, lest we be judged. And there are Christians who use that passage to give allowance for others to believe whatever they choose, when in fact we have the mandate from Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations and teach them the things that he has taught his disciples. It is important that we lovingly bring people to truth and not allow them to continue in their deception. It's more loving to confront somebody and inquire of them, are you confident that you're basing your life on truth? In fact, that's one of the questions, Kim, that really has been beneficial in my effort. It might even help some of the people that are listening right now. When you know of somebody who's living their life outside of the confines of absolute truth and they are going down a wayward path, lovingly go to them and ask them, do you want to live your life on the basis of a lie? No one will ever say yes to that question. And then that opens the door for you to discuss truth. And if you have trouble understanding what truth is, I recommend my book, but it's a very simple test. There are three things that we can do to make sure that a matter is true. We can make sure that it lines up with reality. We can understand that the truth is universal. What's true here in California is true right where you are. And that only one thing can be true and all opposing things are false. When all three of those pillars are in place, we can be confident that a matter is true. When any one of those are missing, we're on shaky ground.
Pamela Christian is our guest, and it's time for a break, and that gives you a chance to get to the phone and join us. 800-811-3003. Do you have a question about Scripture? Some people wonder about, you know, can we really rely on Deuteronomy 29, for example, where God says, I set before you life and death. Now choose life that you and your children may live. What is the proper interpretation? Is that a valid proof text to say that abortion is prohibited in God's economy? Maybe you have questions about other specific verses. Pamela Christian is making it her work to help us understand the Scriptures and help us examine our faith. And so your questions are welcome, and we have copies of her book, Examine Your Faith, when you join us on air. 800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Thank you for joining us tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio. We're talking with Pamela Christian, known as the Faith Doctor, and she also is a person who has been pursuing training in apologetics. And Pamela, tell us about that. What's your working definition of apologetics for those unfamiliar with that term?
Apologetics sounds like you're saying I'm sorry, and that's really not what it means at all, but rather it's an ability to make a defense for the position that you're holding, a lot like a defense attorney. So what it is that we reason with arguments, and we try to justify something. Usually it is a matter of theory or religious doctrine. So it's to make a defense for what it is that we are claiming. And I think that's really important that, especially we as Christians, since we're supposed to share our faith with others, that we are able to make a defense for why we believe what we believe. Because truly, in all circumstances, the burden of proof is on the one who makes the claim.
Okay, so you are helping people discern truth. Mm-hmm. The title of Pamela's book is Examine Your Faith, and it's an effort to help us find truth in a world of lies. And so, Pamela, we've been talking about discerning abortion truth in the Scriptures, and we've been talking about the whole problem about the fact that, and I don't know if you think it comes down to an issue of Bible literacy or if it's an issue of Bible teaching, but you know, I think that even people who are pretty literate and pretty, you know, have a pretty good grasp of Scriptures may not sense that the Scriptures have that much for us on these really difficult questions of our time, such as abortion. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, right, and before I answer that, and I want to make sure that people understand that the term faith doctor is simply an affectionate term that's been given to me. I am not a doctor of any kind, but I've been called the faith doctor because I help people in matters of faith, just like a doctor helps people try to get well. So getting back to your point, I believe that it's all sorts of sources, all different sources that have caused us to not understand the truth and not understand that the truth is absolute, as we were talking about just a little bit ago. You know, people talk about being progressive and people want to be relevant, and a lot of people think that the Bible is just a document of antiquity, that it has no relevancy for today. And I'll even share this with you, Kim, in the work that I do. It used to be, say, for example, in Billy Graham's heyday, that he could say, the Bible says, and people would sit up and listen. Today, you can say, the Bible says, and nobody really cares. You've got to first be able to substantiate the Bible for what it is, which I do in my book, Examine Your Faith. In fact, what I've tried to do is to give people what they need to understand that relativism is not accurate, to understand that truth is absolute. And then I go into a specific chapter for each of the five major world religions, Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, and also a chapter on New Age, so that people can read and understand the origin and the tenets of the different faiths and conclude for themselves, it's very, very obvious, that they cannot be blended. You know, a lot of well-meaning people want to think that all roads lead to the same God and the same heaven. But is that true? This is what we need to examine. And then after I've provided that information for the reader, I then talk about the Bible. And I use extra-biblical proof tests, history and archaeology and the probability of statistics and a number of other proof tests that demonstrate that the Bible is unique in contrast to all other documents of religious authority. The Book of Quran, the Tripitaka, the writings of Buddhism, they do not compare. They do not stand the same proof tests that the Bible does. Once a person is convinced of that, then we can say, the Bible says.
Pamela Christian is our guest. 800-811-3003 is our number. Do you have a question about a specific Bible verse or about an issue in our culture and you're wondering what the Bible does say and if the Bible is silent, as some say it is, on the issue of abortion, how we can know how to read the Bible in light of not having direct references? Pamela Christian able to answer all of these issues, and she's the author of Examine Your Faith, and we'd love to get a copy of that into your hands. For joining us tonight, 800-811-3003, 800-811-3003. So let's talk about faith, because if we can agree on truth, which is a huge order, but if we can, if what you have said resonates, and we agree that there has to be an objective truth and there has to be criteria for determining what it is, what about faith then?
Well, faith is a very tricky topic, and I love it, as a matter of fact, because faith is based on what you believe. And a person, therefore, first needs to make sure that what you believe is based on truth. Again, when I ask an audience who in this room wants to live your life on the basis of a lie, no one ever raises their hand to that question. And Kim, that's very revealing, because it means that universally human beings prefer truth over lies or deception, which means universally we are making a moral conclusion that truth is good and lies or deception is bad. But as I shared a little bit ago, unless we intentionally examine what we believe and why we believe it, we could easily be deceived and not know it, because that's the nature of deception. A person is unaware. So it takes an intentional effort. You know, when a person is wanting to find arguments in support of what they have already concluded, they will have blinders on. They will not be necessarily open to all that actually exists in the Bible. They will try to find scriptures, or they will try to find arguments, they will try to find what they would consider proofs or evidences in support of what they have already concluded. It's like once a person has made up their mind, the facts are irrelative. And that's a sad state of affairs. That is a state of deception. What I hear from you so beautifully is your compassionate heart of wanting women to embrace the reality of not only the occurrence, that the event in their life of the abortion, but also the reality of God's forgiveness and God's restoration and God's redemption, and the fact that you have a forum like this where women and men can call in and talk about their life experiences is free, and the Bible says the truth will set you free. The other thing I really appreciate is that when you, Kim, share, or when your callers share, they are giving permission to anybody who's listening to face their fears, to face the realities and the depths of considerations within them, and to get them brought to the light of truth.
Thank you for that. Pamela Christian, our guest, we're talking about her book, Examine Your Faith, and it's a way that we can find truth in a world of lies, finding truth in a world of lies. 800-811-3003 for you to get your copy of it as you join us with a question or comment. There's some scriptures that I'd love to have you comment on that to me were extremely important as I was beginning to listen to God instead of listening to the voices of our culture when it comes to this issue of shedding innocent blood, which is what every abortion does. Science has clearly shown us that from conception, the child's DNA is separate from the mother, and therefore the child's blood, the innocent blood, you cannot accomplish an abortion by any means without bloodshed of the child. And God says we are not to shed innocent blood. Just give us some commentary that might bring clarity to those verses in Exodus 20 about murder and shedding of innocent blood. And let's refine the terms so people understand that we're not taking it over the top as some sort of a, you know, way to beat people over the head with truth. But what does it mean when God says murder? What does it mean when he talks about innocent blood? And these are really important points for us to grasp, I think, in the healing journey if you have an abortion in your past.
I couldn't agree more. You know, our laws in America are, for the most part, based on the Bible. And we need to understand that and understand that in our civil laws, we have the ability to justify taking the life of another person if there has been an antagonist, if they've, say, broken into our home, or they burglarized us, or they're trying to rob us, or they're trying to assault us. If we should take a life in that instance, then according to the Bible, it is justified. But when we take the life of innocent blood, or an innocent individual, where there has been no wrong done, as would be the case with the baby in the womb, there's no way a baby in the womb could do anything wrong. Then we are faced with a different set of guidelines that the Lord provides us in the book of Exodus, as you pointed out. God has very clear responses that are to be given to the times when there is murder that can be justified, or with intent, or murder that has, in the case of taking innocent blood. God makes a very clear distinction about these two things. And, you know, as you pointed out again, women who go to the abortion clinics, women who are looking for a solution to their immediate problem, they're not looking long term. They're not even aware oftentimes of what scriptures say. And many times, especially if they go to Planned Parenthood and some of these other organizations, they are not going to be given the truth of scripture. I really truly hope and I believe that your ministry on air here, Kim, will allow women to get more information before they take such a drastic step.
Let's go back to the phones. We have a listener question for our guest, Pamela Christian, author of Examine Your Faith. And I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Is it Sabas listening in Atlanta tonight? Have I said your name correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
Welcome. Go ahead, please, with your question or comment for Pamela Christian.
First of all, let me just say that I appreciate anyone that engages in apologetics because you're right. I mean, I think that the thing that's most important, most embattled, most under attack these days is truth and the plumb line of truth. But I had a question that rarely comes up in Christian circles, and we have it in Scripture, so we need to know how to address it. But I've never heard a really good answer about it. But in Genesis 6, when it talks about the Naphtali and the days of old when angels bred with women, and it talks about those were the heroes of old. What is your take on that?
I don't know.
Now this is a cliffhanger because we're up against a break. So Savas, hold on, and Pamela, get cogitating on your answer. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with the answer to that one. That's deep. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and the phones are open for your questions tonight at 800-811-3003. We'll return with Pamela Christian's answer for Savas's question. I'm Kim Cotola. Please stay with us.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Tonight our guest is Pamela Christian, author of Examine Your Faith, Finding Truth in a World of Lies. And we have copies of the book for our callers in this last segment. So if you have a question, now would be the time to dial us up. Sabas, before the break, had a question about Genesis 6. And I'm not sure if we still have him. There might have been an issue with the static on a cell phone. But, Pamela, this is a tough question about the Nephilim, I think he was asking about in Genesis 6, but your comment about Savas's question.
My first comment was, I don't know, and I laughed because a lot of people don't know. This has been a topic that's been a center of discussion for many, many years. The Nephilim are actually discussed in Genesis 6, and also in Numbers chapter 13. And there are different schools of thought on it. Some believe that they were descendants of Adam's son Seth, There are some other minor views. There have been a number of views throughout the year. There's a lot of confusion about the word Nephilim itself. No one today really knows what it means. So actually, I will say that this is something that I believe we'll all learn a lot more about when we're on the other side of this life.
Okay. Well, so, Saba, thank you for your question. Hold on, and we'll get your address to send you a copy of Examine Your Faith by our guest tonight, Pamela Christian. Pamela, let's talk about the comfort of Scripture. Many of us feel as though, you know what, my heart condemned me the moment that I made that decision, but I went through with it anyway.
Yeah.
I know that it was wrong. What
yeah.
I need help with now is the assurance of God's forgiveness. I need help to know this wasn't an unforgivable sin. I need help to know what happened to that baby in God's world, in the eternal realm of things. And so maybe you can give us some scriptures that will help with these questions as well.
Yes, and you know, I also want to make sure that we don't only single out abortion, because no sin is different from another. And that means that all of God's promises for the forgiveness of sin is complete, no matter what it is that we have done in our life. My goodness, I can certainly think of many things that I've done where my conscience, my Holy Spirit conviction is telling me it's not the right thing to do, but I went ahead and did it anyway. I understand that. Who doesn't, if they're being honest? But gratefully, God says, if you will repent, if you will let your mind, your thoughts, your understanding line up with mine, and you repent, I have oodles of love and oodles of forgiveness for you. The Bible is very clear that God throws their memory of our sins as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. We've got so many reassurances in Scripture. Just the very life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof enough of the depth of love that God has for us. You know, I had an issue that I was dealing with recently that just brought me to tears. I had a huge meltdown, and I heard the Lord saying to me in my spirit, not audibly, but I heard him saying, Pamela, I don't want you crying. I want you healed. And that's the very reason that Jesus came to this earth, that we can have healing. We can be restored in our spirit. We can be restored in our emotions, in our mind, in our soul, in our body. There is so much that God offers us. It's just a matter of us opening ourselves up to the reality or the possibility of everything that God offers and then beginning to believe him for it.
Mm. Pamela, I love that. And I think you've said it so eloquently. We all, there's the answer to the first caller's question, you know, how could you? Well, how could any of us act against our conscience,
mm-hmm.
act against truth? Mm-hmm. We do it all the time to our great, you know, peril in some cases, and simply to our, you know, our great need for God's love and for healing and repentance. But I like what you said about repentance. You know, so often we hear turn around. Well, in the case of an abortion or other things in life that are irrevocable, that cannot be undone, how do I simply turn from that?
Right.
What you've described is a very different process of having our thinking line up with God's thinking and his truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like how you unscramble an egg. There are some things that we do that we cannot undo, but we can do the next best thing. And that begins with, number one, having our thoughts, having our devotions, having our allegiance line up with God and his way and his will for our life. And as you are doing, you are unable to go back and restore the life for the abortion that you experienced, but you are giving life to other people by bravely sharing. It's consistent with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, where we are to comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. What you are doing, Kim, is to give men and women permission to face the realities in their life, to face the sin in their life, to take it to the foot of the cross, and to receive every restoration that God has. He will withhold nothing.
Mm. Amen. It's so encouraging. And, you know, Pamela, I want to give you a chance before we close to lead us in prayer. We've got some time left, but I want you to start thinking about that as we're wrapping up our conversation, because really, this comes down to apologetics and understanding God's Word. It cannot happen outside of a relationship with Him. And, of course, our lifeline in that relationship is our prayer life. But I will give you the chance also to address this thing that I'm sure you get about the idea that, well, if I'm standing on God's truth and if I've staked my life on it, that makes me very narrow-minded. You know, the whole idea that you're just being exclusive, you're having a very narrow-minded perspective on truth and religious faith. How do you answer that charge when you start talking about engaging in the precision of what we believe?
Well, number one, the Bible is very clear that God is love and that He's not a respecter of any person. He loves absolutely every individual, and it's His desire that everyone would come to Him. And when people say that Christians are very narrow-minded, my response is, actually, no, we are not narrow-minded. We are simply saying what Jesus said. He said, no one comes to the Father except through Him, except by faith in Him. And what that means is that anybody who wants to come to God is welcome. We have free will, and God will not violate our free will. So if anyone chooses not to come to God, that is their choice. But anyone who wants to come to God is welcome. So in reality, Christianity is not exclusive. It's completely inclusive to anyone who wants to come.
Well, Pamela, let's give you the opportunity to close with prayer. I so appreciate the work represented in our conversation with the study and the heart that you've poured into gaining this knowledge for us so that you could share it and put it into your book, Examine Your Faith. And now, if you will, just lead us in a prayer as we end our conversation.
Heavenly Father, I first and foremost thank You for making Yourself known to us, for revealing Yourself to Your creation, that even though we are born enemies of You because of the original sin in the Garden of Eden, You find a way, Father, to reach out to each and every individual. It's Your desire that everyone would come to You and not one would perish. I ask, Father, right now that those within the sound of my voice would have their hearts softened and their minds softened, and they would begin to understand that You are love, and You are not condemning, and You are full of loving kindness, You are full of long-suffering, and that You want to offer the completeness of redemption that Your Son personally came to this earth to provide. Father, we thank You that we can know that Christianity is unique because You personally, the one true God, came to this earth. You took on human form. You lived the human existence. You know every temptation that we ever experience as human beings. You know the heartaches that we have. You know the pain. You know the temptations. You know everything that we experience, and You overcame it for us, Father. You overcame it through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We praise You and we thank You that You died for us. Lord, help us to understand that the least we can do is live for You.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Pamela, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kim. I so appreciate it.
Pamela is known as the Faith Doctor, and you'll find links to her website and her social media and resources, including her book, Examine Your Faith, at cradlemyheart.org. Hope that you'll visit there this week. If you joined us in the middle of the broadcast, we'll have a podcast version of tonight's conversation posted coming up as soon as possible tomorrow. And I would end with this tonight. You know, if you have on your heart these questions about when life begins and how God sees life before birth, I'd ask you to read Psalm 51 and Psalm 139 and take into consideration Luke 1:39 through 42. Open your heart to God's Word and what He has for you, and allow yourself to rest in the comfort of His truth. Because as Jesus said, when we know the truth and obey it, the truth will set us free. And that's my prayer for you tonight. Well, I hope you can join us next week, too. Oh, my goodness, Sue Badeau is going to be our guest next week. And Sue has 21 children, building her family, or 22, that is, building her family through adoption. And she's a very entertaining as well as a very well-informed guest on the subject of building family through adoption with some children who have some big challenges that they've had to overcome in life. What is the hope that these families have? We'll hear about that next week. CradleMyHeart.org is where you can link to our Facebook page and our Twitter, and also let us hear from you. because we would love to. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, Jesus loves you and so do we. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.